Amen. Matthew chapter 24. We are going to finish up Matthew chapter 24 today. Been there for a long time, but we're going to keep on preaching God's word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you are somebody who likes to take notes, or, you know, I don't know, sometimes the titles that the Lord lays on my heart, or maybe that I come up with, probably you're like, why did he name it that? He didn't even talk about it in the sermon sometimes. But for whatever it's worth, today, Corbin says that all the time, for whatever it's worth, he's not here today, so I can pick on him. The title is The Believer's Duty. If you're a believer here today, you have, just like they're veterans, just like soldiers, do you have a duty? And God wants you, God saved you for a purpose. He died on the cross for you for a purpose. I'm already getting fired up this morning. He didn't save you so you would be comfortable. He saved you so you would get uncomfortable. And that he would set you on fire and send you out into the world, just like he did with the disciples, just like he wants to do with every one of us. Last week, if you were here, we read where Jesus told us, no matter who you are, how much knowledge you have, how wise you are, whatever it is, that no one knows the day or the hour that Christ will return other than the Father himself. But he did tell us this. He said there'll be these signs. And we've seen that through Matthew chapter 24. There will be signs that happen that those of us who know God's word and that spend time with the Lord or whatever, when we see that, we know that his return is near. We don't freak out. We don't say, oh my goodness, what's all this stuff happening for? We say, man, Jesus told us thousands of years ago, and he recorded in the word of God that this is going to happen, so we would know it. And we would say, hey, we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're not going to be scared. Anxiety's not going to take over. We're going to see these things and we're going to say, it's happening just like Jesus told us. And he told us last week that he's going to be standing at the door, right at the threshold, getting ready to come when these signs appear. Just like when we see the buds on the fig tree, we know it's the spring and we know that summer is near. It's the same with Christ and his return. Christ told us that it would be just like the days of Noah. Unfortunately, people will be so busy living the way that they want to live, ignoring the call of God, ignoring the Bible, ignoring the local church, ignoring the Holy Spirit that speaks to them. They'll be ignoring. They'll be so busy, tied up in whatever they're doing in life, making money, making friends, going to parties, going to weddings, all these things. Jesus talked about it, that they won't be ready. The signs will be there. All the signs will be there and they'll ignore them. Just like we talked about last week when Noah was building the ark. Everybody saw him building the ark, but nobody got on. Until it was too late and the flood swept them away. Christ told us it would be just like the days of Noah. They won't be ready. Now, as we finish up chapter 24 today, we need to remember something. And I've reminded you of this a couple of times as we've been going through these verses here, and especially since Palm Sunday, when we talked about that a long time ago. We have to be reminded, because I have to be reminded, this all is taking place in the last week of Christ's life here on earth. So just wrap your brains around, like, the last 6 months we've been preaching. It's all been in the like first 3 or 4 days of the last week of Jesus' life. And we're going to stay there as we continue into the end of Matthew. And it's so much stuff there. And why is it so much stuff there? It's so much stuff there because Jesus knew it was his last week. And he was trying to teach his disciples everything he could teach them. He's saying, look, I'm leaving, but I'm coming back and I want you to be ready. And so I'm glad that we're not rushing through it, because I believe Christ has the same yearning for us to be ready for his return. And we're going to see that today, as we've seen it in the past, and we're going to see it in the future. His disciples had asked him this question at the beginning of Matthew chapter 24 about the destruction of of Jerusalem and about the end of the age. And after answering their questions that we've already gone through, he comes to this point of application that we find ourselves in today. We know Jesus loved to teach in parables. And so today, we're going to see him teaching about three parables, three quick little parables he's going to give us today that's going to help us really be ready, or maybe to maybe stir our hearts to make sure we're ready for Christ's return. We know that his return, the exact hour, the exact day is a secret. But what is a believer to do in the meantime? How is a believer supposed to live while we're waiting? And ultimately, what is a believer's duty? See, there's my sermon title. I tied it in somewhere. Christ is going to answer these questions, I believe, in these three parables that each give us a stern and forcible and forced warning. So let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. If you find that, say amen this morning. All right, so let's read through it. It says this. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know the day your Lord is coming. We're going to stop there for just a second. The Lord just laid something in my heart. How can you keep watch if He's not your Lord? Is Jesus Christ your Lord this morning? Yes. We need to put that upon ourselves first and ask, am I looking for my Lord? It's not a Lord, it's your Lord is coming. Let's keep going. Verse 43. He says, understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant is evil and thinks, my master won't be back for a while? And he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant into pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's go to the Lord before we get into this. Father, we love you this morning again, and we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray your blessing upon the reading of your word. And I think a lot of times that can be said in pastoral prayers. We bless the reading of the word. But Lord, really, we ask that this morning, that you would bless the reading of your word. We know that it doesn't come back void. Lord, whether somebody's here today and the seed's just being planted, what's all this about? Maybe somebody here has been a Christian for a long time that needs to be reminded. Whatever we're walking through, whatever it is, Lord, I just pray a blessing over the reading of your word and over the preaching of your word today. Lord, I ask for your strength for me. I ask that you would silence anything that's not from you and give me the boldness to speak and to follow your spirit. And Father, I pray that our hearts would receive the message that you have for each one of us. You are a personal God. And we want a personal relationship with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Keep watch. I'm going to wake you up a little bit. Keep watch. That's what Jesus said. What does Jesus mean by this? What does he mean? Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Look at verse 42 again. He says, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know the day your Lord is coming. So is a believer supposed to go out? That's why we have outdoor church, so we can keep watch. Are we supposed to do that, though? Are we supposed to stand in our yard all day long and look up and just say, okay, Jesus said to keep watch. I've got to watch all the time so I don't miss it. I don't think that's what he meant. If you look at the original Greek word, I'm going to impress you all this morning, Gregorio. Now, if you want to sound like you know what you're talking about, put a little tongue roll in there. I don't know if that's really the way you pronounce it, but that's what I do. Gregorio. What that means is that keep watch, it means to keep awake, to stay alert. It also includes the idea of being motivated or keeping one's attention on one single thing. See, for a believer, what does that mean to stay awake or to stay alert? Before, you know, we have to stay focused, stay motivated. Don't get distracted. Don't go to the left or the right. You ever seen a team of horses when they go up the road? What do they have? They have those blinders on so they don't get distracted. That's the way I believe it. That's the way I picture it. Keep watch. Keep focused. Stay on the narrow gate. Narrow gate youth, Pastor Will, teenagers, right? Stay focused. Don't get distracted. Don't go down the broad gate. Amen. Before we get into these parables, I want to give us four quick things to consider before we go any further. This isn't part of the parables, but how or what does it really consider? What do we need to consider about being alert and about being awake? Number one is this. The believer is to watch and to be ready for the Lord's return. So if you want to know how you're going to be awake and be alert, you got to be ready for the Lord's return. We don't know the exact day. We know the signs and we know that they're going to be there. But we have to keep our eyes open, not letting the enemy. You know, the enemy wants to do nothing but distract us. He wants to tempt us. He wants to distract us. He wants to discourage us. He is a deceiver. He is a great liar. All he wants to do is just say, hey, what about this? But what about this? Or what about that? Or hey, come try this. Come try that. We got to stay focused, stay watch, keep watch. Number two, the believer is to keep watch over his or her ministry that God has called them to. Right? So we serve faithfully and we serve wisely. Whatever God, wherever God has planted you, not all of us are called to be pastors. Right? Not all of us are called to be Sunday school teachers. Wherever you are serving, you are to be serving and serving faithfully where God has you planted. And you're to keep watch there. Whatever I do, when I'm in my secular world and my secular job and I'm out there, I'm supposed to be the same man that I am behind the pulpit right there on the side of the road. And I'm keeping watch over what God has given me. What are the gifts that God has given me? Or what is the knowledge of the Word of God that God has given me? Or the strength that God has given me? And maybe the passion that He's given me? Whatever it is, wherever I am, I'm to keep watch and to keep focused. It could be a construction site. It could be a classroom in the schools. It could be patrolling the streets or working out on the road. It could be working in an office. It could be someone who's retired who has more time than they had before. Whatever it is, keep watch there. Keep watch there. Number three, the believer is to watch their attitude and their behavior. Keep watch over our behavior. Keep watch over our attitude. Our mind should stay upon the Lord's return, and we should remain sober. We should remain sober and undivided. James said, when our loyalty is divided, we are like a ship that's tossed out in the waves. Just a few weeks ago, we went to Chincoteague State Park. And I had this idea. They've got these old like battleships that are sunk, or cargo ships that are sunk out there. They're concrete ships. And I was going to take my kayak out in the Chesapeake Bay and I was going to paddle out there to those things. And the waves did not look very big until I was in a little kayak and I was out there and the swells were coming over and I was thinking, I'm not going to make it back. The water was freezing. And we made it about 20 or 30 yards out into the Chesapeake Bay before we turned around and came back. It's not a good place to be when you're tossed about by the sea. And that's the way it is when our loyalty is divided. We're to keep watch over our attitude and our behavior. Number four, the believer watches by being ready to die and to meet the Lord. And he said, man, I came to church today to hear about life and to hear, be encouraged or whatever. Now here he's talking about dying, but then Christ doesn't specifically point to this in these parables that we're here today. He's talking about His return. But if you are a Christian here today, or maybe you just live in this world, it is clear to you, and if it hasn't been clear to you, you chose to ignore how fragile this life is, and how even if it's not fragile and you live a long life, how quick it flies by. If you have children, it speeds up somehow. I don't know how that works. But you have the hope. If you're a Christian, you have the hope of that eternal life in Jesus Christ, and we have to keep watch and be ready. If death comes to find me today, I'm ready. I want to keep living my life, but I'll be ready. In my soul, in my heart, I am ready to go meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 says this, "And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and a devotion to God. While we look forward to the hope, that wonderful day, when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed." You see, church, it's time to wake up this morning. Don't be dozing off on me this morning. All right? You got an extra hour of sleep last night. You have no excuse. Keep watch and stay awake today because I believe God wants to speak to us. Amen? Look at verse 43 and 44 back in Matthew chapter 24. It says this. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time. The Son of Man will come when least expected. Here's the first of the three parables that we're going to go through today, and we're going to go through them fairly quickly, but this is the first of the three that jumped out at me. In this parable, it's talking about the burglar breaking into a house. Okay, and so first thing we got to do is understand what Jesus is talking about. This house, it represents a professing believer's life. All right, so if you don't, I don't understand, why would he talk about being ready for a burglar? So your life is this house, if you are a professed believer. And Jesus Christ, in His return, is the burglar. Now, I know that sounds weird, okay? I know what I would do if somebody broke into my house. I'm not going to do that when Jesus returns. I'm going to rejoice. But He's trying to help us understand that. The point is clear. Just like we talked about last week, we have to be ready. Readiness is essential. By readiness, Christ means that we're to be diligently living towards a life of righteousness. So we're not just going to live like the rest of the world. And it's not all about, you know, trying to impress God or anything like that. We just like we honor the soldiers that are here today, We worship and we live a life that, that is holy and is and it's pleasing to God because of what He did for us. We say, God, thank you for what you've done for me. I'm going to do everything I can do to turn from my sin, and I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to look for your return. Christ gives us two reasons here why we're to be ready. Number one is this. If you look at those verses, He is definitely coming. He didn't say the homeowner might break in. He said, when they do. All right, so He is definitely coming. And number two, He is coming in a time when those who are unprepared will not expect it. But when it comes to the topic that we're talking about today, there's all kinds of people in the world that have different views on different pieces of Scripture. Well, there's different theological views. Well, I get that, but I think this about this verse. I think Jesus means this. I think when it comes to the return of Christ, I think it's a moot point. I don't think there's any room for argument or discussion. The Bible says it very clearly that Christ is going to return. He says that we've been talking about ever since how He's going to return, and it says He is coming back. So there's no argument between that. The church as a whole, whether we're different denominations, whatever, we should agree on that fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and He is coming back for His church. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 through 6 says this, but you are in the dark about these things. Okay, so everybody here today, you are no longer in the dark, okay, about these things. There should be no guessing in your mind because you've heard it right from God's Word. You are no longer in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert, Gregorio. Stay alert and be clear. Headed. Be clear-minded, some translations say. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3 says this. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. I love that. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly as unexpected as a thief. Pretty consistent to me, church, and that's just a few of many. Church, the owner's house represents their life. And each of us is responsible for taking care of our own life. I hear it all the time in the line of work that I'm in. Well, it's because my parents, they did this. Or my parents struggle with this. Or this runs in my family. But I'm here to tell you this morning that I'm not making light of that. All those things do make your life more difficult, struggling with different things. But I'm here to tell you that ultimately you are responsible for your life. Amen. Christ says that we are to keep our life, to keep our house by watching and staying awake. Stay alert. Be looking for Christ because He's coming back. Look with me at verse 45 through 47 as we continue. It says this, a faithful, sensible servant is one in whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all that he owns. So here's the second parable that Christ gives us today that we're going to go through. And that's one of a wise and faithful servant. See, this faithful servant and this wise servant represents a genuine believer. Okay? This is a person who is not only professes to be a Christian, not only says I'm a Christian, not only do they have a bumper sticker on the back of their car, or they're a member of a church, but they are actively following Christ. Their whole life, they live for Christ. I mean, they're perfect. The disciples weren't perfect, but they left everything and they followed Christ. They wanted to learn from Christ, and everything they did, they followed Jesus. This is who this wise servant and this genuine servant represents. Remember, he was telling this to 12 ordinary, imperfect men. One of them was a tax collector, despised by everybody. But they left everything they had to follow Jesus. You see, the wise and the faithful servant could be a minister, it could be a teacher, or it could be somebody who's never stepped foot in a church before and is a brand new believer. Either way, it applies to us all. No matter what your calling is or where you're serving, Christ is telling us here to be wise and to be faithful with what you have. Now, in this parable, Christ covers 3 points of a faithful servant. We're going to talk about it before we move on to the next one. Number one is this. A faithful servant's responsibility is twofold. So there's two things that are important here that I see that jumped out at me, and they're very simple. We're to oversee the master's house, All right, so whatever he's entrusted us with, we oversee it. And we're to feed his other servants. That sounds like a life of serving to me. It's service. Note the master is the one who sets the servant over his household, right? The servant doesn't appoint himself. So I don't come up here and I say, I think I should be a pastor. Therefore, I am going to go apply at a church to be the pastor. That would never work. God calls and puts callings on each one of our life because he created us. He has the purpose for us. Psalm 139 tells us that before you were even born, your whole life was written in his book and he had a plan for you. So he is the master, and he is the one that sets you and appoints you to where you're supposed to be. A pastor, a minister, an elder in a church, whatever it is, a deacon. They're all given responsibility to oversee the master's family. And he or she is under the Lord, and they should be really live a life that leads, not just by teaching or whatever, but leading by example the way that they live. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3 says this, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you can get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. Now, just a side note here, and we're going to keep going. A pastor and a leader in the church, we see that right there in 1 Peter chapter 5, has their instructions, right? But those who are in the household, those other servants, the other family, you got some instructions too. So we're going to cover that real quick. Listen to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It says this, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Now, somebody shut down right now because they're like, wait a minute, he's just trying to get control. He's not talking about jump when he says jump or you got to do this or you got to do that. When I'm teaching the word, when your spiritual leaders, wherever you go to church or whatever it is, or anybody, your Sunday school teacher, is teaching you the word, it says obey them and do what they say. It says their work is to watch over your soul, and they are accountable to God. Give them a reason to do this with great joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. You see, I am to feed you the word. As a servant of God, I am to feed you every day. The Bible talks about eating the Word of God. That sounds weird, doesn't it? But that's how you get something into your body. You eat it. You digest it. You let it into your life. You let it work in your life. And you let it bring you the nutrition that you need in your life. We are to give our spiritual leaders a reason to serve the Lord with pure joy. Right? We're coming right off of Pastor Appreciation Month. And I have been showered with gifts. And I've been so blessed. And I know Will would say the same thing. I mean, I got a gift card to Cabela's. And I was in the tree stand yesterday because I love to go hunting. And I was shopping at Cabela's. How am I going to spend that gift card that a church member gave me? But listen to me. Listen to me. A pastor or somebody, you know, who's serving the Lord in the church, their real joy comes from the church actually letting them lead. And letting them, and if the pastor or the minister or whoever it is, the elder, the deacon gives you instructions from the Bible, you take those instructions and you try to live it out. That's right. If a pastor or a spiritual leader is teaching the truth from God's word, according to God's word, trust them and let them lead. This leads right into the second point of this parable. Number two is this. A servant, his accountability, her accountability is very clear. It's very clear. The Lord is coming, and when he comes, Christ told us that he will judge what the servant is doing. Okay? So that is what I don't understand about the pastors, even in the biblical day, but even today, that don't preach from God's word. They want to add their twist, or they're scared about being politically incorrect, or whatever else it is. I don't understand. Do they not read this? Now, I'm not saying I'm a perfect pastor. I'm definitely not a perfect preacher. I'm not a perfect leader, but I can tell you this is something that I take very seriously. Amen. And I consider it a lot when I'm preparing my messages, when I'm leading or I'm talking in a business meeting or whatever else it is. I think about my accountability to God. I think about that a lot, which I should, because it keeps me humble, but it also keeps me on the right track. And it keeps me right here between the pages. But I'm here to tell you that each one of us also has a responsibility to be faithful and wise with what we have been given. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says this, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. That's each of you. Use them well to serve one another. We are each accountable to the Master who has appointed us and has set us over what we're in charge of, or what, where we're supposed to be serving, the household in which God has planted us and he's entrusted with us. How do we treat the other servants around us? How do we feed them? Are we even feeding them? Or are we just collecting, we like buffet style, we're keeping it all for ourselves? That's not what a servant does. A servant is there saying, here, come sit at the table and have what I found. You see, I don't know about you, but I long to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. And this leads right into the last, or the third point of this parable before we move on to the last one is this. Number three is this: the Lord's faithful servants will be rewarded, and their reward is unbelievable. The Bible tells us that no mind has imagined, no ear has heard, no eye has seen what God has stored up for those who love him. Think about that. Jesus tells us in verse 47 that the Master will put a faithful servant in charge of everything that he owns. A lot of times people have this idea that when we get to heaven, we're going to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp, and we're just going to be like laid back, whatever. That's not what I think. I don't think the Bible says that. I think we're going to get to heaven and God's going to assign us tasks and we're going to be serving him, but it's all going to be with pure joy. There's no weed eaters in heaven, right? There's no July like Virginia humid days up there when you're serving. It's going to be perfect, and we're going to serve with pure joy in the glory of God. I believe we're going to be working for all eternity serving God and worshiping him at his feet. And if we remain faithful, the Master will give us much greater responsibilities to look after. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He said, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Maybe there's somebody here today that's saying, why hasn't God put a calling on my life? Why hasn't the church maybe asked me to be a deacon? Okay, or a deaconess or whatever. Why is this or why is that? Why does it seem like I don't really know what my purpose is? Why would I just put this challenge out to you. What are you doing with the little bit that you've got? Amen. What are you doing? If you look throughout the Bible, everybody that God called, none of them were sitting back doing nothing. They were workers. Yep. Wherever they were serving. It might have been out with the sheep in the field. It might have been serving somewhere else. It might have been whatever they were doing. Serving another person, whatever it was, they were all working. Look through the Bible and look. None of them were sitting back just waiting on God to do something in their life. They were busy serving. So what are you doing with the little things while you're waiting for God to appoint you to the bigger things? The Lord's servants are to be wise and faithful, and they are to be rewarded. That should encourage us, but also challenge us this morning. Let's look at the last chunk of Scripture here before we close out, and that's this. Verse 48 through 51 says this. But what if the servant is evil and thinks my master won't be back for a while? And he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant into pieces and assign him to the place of the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, here's the obvious opposite kind of servant than the one we just read about in the prior scripture. And the third one is this. This third parable is this. It concerns an evil servant. Now, this evil servant, what it represents a professing believer, right? He said he's going to put you with the hypocrites, right? He's going to put them people with the hypocrites. It's somebody who's acting like they're a believer, maybe even could be a pastor or a minister, but it's not genuine. The outside of the cup is clean, but the inside is filthy. All right, are you following me? Jesus, he doesn't contradict himself. It's what he's talking about here. Despite their church membership or maybe their baptism ceremony or their position within the church or their loyalty to the local church, this represents the unfaithful or maybe an untrustworthy servant in the church or an a believer that's just a hypocrite. You see, Christ covers this person's heart. He covers this person's behavior, and he covers this person's judgment. So let's start with the heart. What does he say about the heart? Christ speaks of an evil servant. This is that professing believer that never allowed the Lord to really work in their life. All right, they might say, I'm a Christian, whatever, but they've never really dropped the net and followed Christ. They've never actually followed the Lord. They never let the Lord work in their life. There's never been a transformation in their life. They have religion. They have knowledge of God. They might even believe in God. They might even believe in Jesus. But their heart is still evil. Right? James talked about that too. He said, even the demons believe there's a God. And they tremble when they hear it. Maybe they've been misinterpreted the Lord's coming. Or maybe they think it's so far away that they haven't given it any concern. Or they don't care about it. They say, well, it's not, I don't know. Yeah, the Bible talks about it. I'm not going to really think about that. Verse 48, he said that. He said, but what if the servant is evil and thinks, my master won't be back for a while? That was me when I was younger. Especially a teenager in my 20s. I got time. I don't have to worry about that. Maybe they're too busy living for themselves to ever focus on being a servant for the Lord or anybody else. Either way, it represents, that evil servant represents a believer, or maybe a professed Christian who's not genuine in their faith. And that leads right into the second point that he covers, and that's their behavior. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that he covered their heart, and then he goes to the behavior, right? I don't think that's any kind of coincidence. You see, this is the pattern. When our heart belongs to the world and not to Jesus, our behavior seems to show it. That's what it does. Church, if you're struggling with a certain sin, or maybe you've just been, you know, trying to be a better person, we got to stop here for just a second. Maybe you're saying, man, I want so hard to be a better person. I don't want to do the sin that I'm doing. I don't want to live the way I'm doing. I don't want to lash out at people the way they do. I want to control my tongue. I want to quit using the foul language. Or I don't want to look at this. Or I don't want to think about that all the time. I want to be a better husband or a better friend or a better church member or a better Christian. And the more you try, the more it just seems to fall apart. And the more you seem to mess it up. And the more you struggle with it. I've been there before. That's how I can preach it this morning, because I tell you that. I would suggest this. This is what I found. Instead of me trying to work so hard to fix my behavior, it might be time for me to go focus on the condition of my heart.
Amen.
So God wants you to... God's saying, all the time we're trying to be a better person, and God's saying, all I want is your heart. Just let me in. Let me in there. See, if God has my heart, He'll have my behavior. Doesn't mean I'll be perfect, but He'll have my behavior. This evil servant mistreated those other servants because his heart didn't belong to the master. That was the root of the problem. He was evil because he didn't really serve the master.
Yeah.
And this leads right into the last thing, the last point in this parable, and that's judgment. And we talked about judgment over the last couple of weeks. We talked about Jesus coming back as a judge when he returns. But again, there's a day coming when we will all face the Lord in death. Even if it's, you know, after we've left this world and we're already with the Lord, there is a day that we are going to face the Lord Jesus Christ in our death or when He returns. And too many people fail to really believe this. Or maybe they believe it, but they just choose to file it away somewhere. Like, if I don't think about that, then I don't have to deal with my sin, and I don't have to really think about how short life really is. I don't have to think about my eternal life. You see, Christ Himself tells us that those who are evil, those people who say, well, I'll get my life right with the Lord. My master won't be back anytime soon. Christ isn't coming back yet. I'm a young man, or I'm a young woman. I'm going to go sow my oats. That's what the world tells you to do, isn't it? Or I'm going to go live and party it up while I'm young. I'm going to do those things. Well, I have plenty of time. Those are the wicked servants who mistreat other servants. Christ says several things that will happen to those people. And this should get our attention this morning. They will be caught off guard when they meet the Lord. They'll be caught off guard. Just like in the days of Noah, we talked about last week. They will be cut off from the presence of God for all eternity. What about you? But that doesn't sound good to me. They will be put in a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. One thing that Jesus hates is a hypocrite. Did you know that? He does not like hypocrites. That's why he rebuked those spiritual leaders, or those leaders in the temples and all those things, the Pharisees, because here they were representing him, but they weren't true professing believers. You see, church, I believe that one of the worst kind of people in all the world are those who profess to be a Christ follower, yet they live in sin. If this is you here today, be convicted of that, but don't be discouraged, because there's hope. We sang about it earlier, right? God really loves us. God really loves us. He's our Father. He's our Savior. And He's our friend. We simply need to confess the evil in our lives. I remember Pastor Will was preaching to the youth a long time ago, and it just stuck with me. I never heard anybody preach it like this, Will. When he says, confess your sins to the Lord, it means that you're agreeing with God. You're agreeing with God that what you're doing and the way you're living is wrong. That's simple as that. Repent of that sin. That's all you have to do. And turn back to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Lean on His mercy. Lean on His grace and believe in it. And trust that He will really forgive you. So as we close this morning, I want to take this scripture and I want to make it a quick personal application before we leave. Am I awake? Am I keeping watch this morning? Each one of us asks that question. Am I really expecting? Am I living like I expect Christ to return today? Am I open? Am I seeing the signs? Am I looking for them? Number two, am I a faithful servant? No matter what I've got in my control, what I'm doing, where I'm serving, what I have, the talents that I have, the knowledge of the Bible that I have, am I being faithful with it? And am I serving wisely? And number three, am I an evil servant? Does my heart belong to the Master this morning? Ask yourself this morning. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to you. Does your heart belong to the Master this morning? Listen, church, the intention here is not to make you doubt your salvation. All right? I know the choir is rustling around, but listen to this morning. Jesus does not want you to doubt your salvation this morning. If you have called on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins and to make you a new creation, and you're striving to live and to follow His will for your life, nothing, the Bible says, nothing can separate you from the love of God. But hopefully this will stir our hearts when we think about our life. If Christ was returned tomorrow at 1:30 p.m., maybe if Christ returned at 6:30 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, 11 p.m. on a Friday night, 11 a.m. on a Sunday, where would He find you? Where would He find you? Where would He find you? And what would He find you doing? Would He find you not keeping watch and just living life like there's no eternal judgment, no eternal life? Would He find you just being complacent, sleeping on the job? Would He find you serving Him faithfully? Or would He find you just like He did with this evil servant who thought, my master won't be back anytime soon? Church, as believers, as Christians, as Christ followers, we have a duty. And some people don't like to hear that, but God has a work for you to do. God has a work for you to do. Being a part of the church means that you are to get plugged in, and He has a work for you to do for Him today. And that duty is to stay awake, to stay alert, and to be a good and faithful servant. I want to end with Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 through 28. And we're going to put it up on the board here. This is what it says. And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with their sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for Him. Excuse me. Church, this is what we need to remember this morning. Paul told Timothy to keep fighting the good fight. Keep fighting the good. To be a faithful servant, we got to stay in the fight and we got to keep moving forward. We don't get distracted. We keep watch. We faithfully serve with whatever God has given us, where we've planted, what He's given us. We do what we can with what we have, where we are. Right? Preached on that in Uganda one time. That's why I looked at Dwayne. That's what He wants us to do. It's that simple. Whatever you have right there in front of you, what are you doing with it? And how are you serving others with what you have where you are? Is it well with your soul this morning? That would be my invitation. This morning, as we talk about all these things, is it well with your soul? So as we sing this morning, if God is stirring in your heart, maybe you want to tell everybody what God is doing in your life. You want to make a profession of faith. Whatever that is, this is a time to do that. And you can talk to God. He is your Father. He is your Savior. And He is your friend. Spend this time right now spending some time with your Heavenly Father. And if you want to share what God is doing in your heart, that's what we're up here for at the end. And I would pray and encourage you to do that, because that's where God really starts to use you. Amen? Amen. If God is calling you this morning, come as the choir sings and sing with them. And let's let the Lord work in our lives.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, who always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.